the Locksmith's Daughter, written and read by Karen Brooks. Isaac's lips thinned before he slowly and deliberately turned and walked back into the shop, slamming the door with such force it trembled in its wooden frame. At the sound, activity in the lane momentarily ceased, the chatter stopped, and the flames of the braziers and the lamps dimmed. Eyes that had previously failed to notice my presence fastened upon me like gimlets, including those of the dog guarding the stoop of the house next door. A wave of whispers rose and fell. Master Swithin folded his arms and stared, a smirk tugging his mouth. I stumbled. Regaining my composure, I kept my chin up, and, as we continued on our way, only the clop of my pattens and the swish of Angela's cloak could be heard. Until a voice that once murmured ridiculous promises in my ear cried from a window above, echoing over the streets, "Lock up your sons! Mistress Blight is back among us!" There were gasps, followed by vicious and prolonged cackles. The looks became bolder, more appraising. Catcalls and taunts followed. Someone spat. Frigid cold, then blazing heat replaced the blood in my veins. My vision blurred as tears began to well. I wanted to run, to be swallowed by the growing shadows. If it hadn't been for Angela's hold upon my arm, her muttered prayers, I think I would have bolted. I don't recall our next steps, but I gradually became aware the jests and attention had ceased, and the lane's activity resumed. There was sing-song cheer from the alehouse, the screech of an alley cat, and the caw of ravens winging their way home. My breathing steadied. My heart did not. This was guilt unassuaged. It would ensure I was punished over and over for my sins. "Ignore that bastardo, Hattycliff," said Angela softly. "He is nothing more than a, what is it you say? A roaring boy, and all who live here know it." I hesitated a second before responding, determined the wobble of my limbs would not infect my voice. "A coward and a bully he may be, but there's many would argue my actions created him, Mama among them." "Mistress Blight, dear God, is that how they see me?" We walked the rest of the way home without exchanging another word, aware of the gossip that would no doubt swell in our wake. Relief swept my body as the house came into view. I was a soldier returning from war, longing for the safety of those walls, even though the harbour they represented was only temporary. On the corner of Harp Lane and Tower Street, our house was a fine three-story building with mullioned glass in all the windows and two parlours inside, all surrounded by a stone wall. The entrance was on Harp Lane, while access to Father's shop was on Tower Street. His workshop was at the rear, separated from the main house by a small yard complete with chickens and a greedy cow. Just before the intersection with Tower Street, there was a big old creaking gate, partially hidden by a huge elm tree. Mainly used by tradespeople and servants, it had always been my preferred entrance and exit. Once inside, I would pay my respects to Papa, to my lady mother, and then lock myself in my room and never venture out again. This outing had been a mistake, a terrible, wretched mistake. I should never have allowed myself to be persuaded. The play, for all its glory, was not worth it. Oh, damn Caleb, and damn Papa for his acquiescence. Just as I opened the gate, it was wrenched backwards. In the gap, a grime-streaked face with large eyes appeared. It was my father's youngest apprentice, Dickon. Upon seeing me, he started, his neck and cheeks reddening.
Mistress Mallory, I was just coming to find you.
"What is it, Dickon?" I asked, and casting etiquette aside, squeezed past him. Leaving Angela to shut the gate, Dickon followed me, then stopped, studying his feet, scraping them back and forth in the dirt, hands clasped behind his back, his blue shirt covered by his leather apron. Taken on by my father after I left, Dickon had heard the prate about his master's daughter and didn't know what to think when the subject of that tattle manifested as a living, breathing being. He had avoided me since I'd been home. Now he had no choice. He swallowed a few times.
It's your pa. He needs you, mistress.
My heart gambolled in my chest. At last.